Welcome back to another episode of Cohen's Corner. The time is finally here. Opening day's on Thursday. Feels like it's been forever since the last Mets game's been played. So we got a lot to talk about today. Some predictions for you going into the season. And yeah, this is usually one of our most exciting episodes of the year. So let's get right into it. Elizabeth, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's funny with the WBC sort of landing right in the middle of spring training. Once that was over, it was really sort of been a sprint to the finish in terms of spring training only having another week. And so not that I wasn't aware, obviously, that the season was starting on Thursday, but normally I feel like it's almost more of a steady march towards opening day. And now I feel like the time frame seems to have sped up a bit. But at the same time, you know, it's been really nice over the last few weeks having Mets games back on TV, even if they're just spring training games. But I am going to be looking forward to seeing regulars playing all nine innings instead of five or six or seven, and also seeing more actual pitchers that will be on the team pitching more of the games as opposed to random people I've never heard of at the end of games. Although that can be fun too, because sometimes I learn new names that end up doing cool things. So yeah, looking forward to games that matter, even though it is also sort of relaxing to watch games that don't matter. But at a certain point, that does get kind of old. So yeah, really excited for Thursday. It's, you know, there's a lot ahead for the season, and I know there's been a lot that's been going on in the Mets offseason and all over the league, so really excited to see how it unfolds, see how some of these storylines that have been kind of in the works start actually coming together when the games start getting played.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like you said, there's so many no-names and the highest numbers you could imagine, you know, on their jerseys, and it's just, it'll be nice to see our guys playing an entire game, and hopefully by the time we get to their Thursday, there's no other injuries to report. And Mets got very lucky with Nimmo only missing, what, like a week he missed basically, and he's back and he looks good.
Thank goodness. So, today's his birthday, by the way. So glad that he's okay.
Yes, for sure. And the most recent news is that Darren Ruff was cut. Tim LaCastro made the team, which in my opinion is the right decision. Feel bad for the guy, Ruff, that he could never get going here in New York. But, I mean, you kind of just got to cut your losses. This team wants to win as many games as possible. And hanging on to a guy that's not even come close to batting 200 for you since he's gotten here just doesn't make a lot of sense. Tim LaCastro offers a lot of speed off the bench, good defense in the outfield. So I think he's really bringing a lot to the table that this team may be lacking. So I think that was definitely the right move by management. Somewhat surprised. I know in past years, like with Cano last year, they cut ties, ate a lot of money. I just thought with the trade that they had for Ruff last year, they weren't going to give up so quickly, but I think they made the right decision, and it's good to see that they're doing everything they can to win as many ball games as possible. So I don't know about you, but I was pleasantly surprised by the news this morning.
I also was. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Ruff. Like, he didn't ask to be here. He clearly just didn't do well. He didn't seem like a bad person. He'll probably be fine or, like, okay somewhere else. His role on this team was just not – there was just really no way I could see this working out because he doesn't play that many positions. He's not super versatile. It's not even like he provides great defense or speed or much else to make up for him not hitting. And – It actually makes not having Vientos on the roster a little bit more puzzling, although I think if they hadn't signed Pham, then you'd have LaCastro as like the fourth outfielder, basically, and then one of Beatty or Vientos would have actually made the team. But so in a sense, when they didn't call up Beatty and Vientos to start the year, I actually thought, okay, they're definitely keeping Ruff. But now they don't have Ruff, I'm like, that almost makes less sense. Now that they have Pham and LaCastro presumably on the roster, who both play the outfield, but it seems like Pham isn't going to get that much time in the outfield, most likely. Maybe he's the righty DH instead of Ruff, which, you know, I didn't really love the Pham signing to begin with, but I'd trust his bat slightly more than Ruff at this point. I think he's more valuable as a hitter than Darren Ruff, and probably a little bit more valuable just in general on the roster. So if they had to have one of the two, I'd rather have him. And so it seems like that's kind of where the decision was made rather than between Pham and LaCastro and like Ruff and Vientos. So a little bit surprising after they didn't call up either of the two prospects, but definitely think not. And it's one of those things too, where it sort of just felt like it was clogging space on the roster that just could be used more effectively. And I think not having him there, you know, wish him the best somewhere else at this point. Some team will probably take him or the Mets will try to trade him. But yeah, it clearly it's one of those things, you know, trading JD Davis and three other players for Darren Ruff It seemed puzzling at the time. I didn't like the move at the time. I'm not just saying that in retrospect. Like, actually, I was genuinely puzzled, as were a lot of people. It just didn't work out. And I'm glad. I actually thought it would be more like a Cano situation where they would give him like a month. But the thing is, they're paying Ruff a lot less than they were paying Cano. So I'm the fact that they didn't give him any of the regular season to kind of prove himself again, I'm glad about, because I just didn't really want to watch him on the team.
I don't think anybody really did.
Like, I'm glad that that era is now over and it didn't work out. Look, the Mets clearly lost the trade, but oh well.
Because J.D. Davis played well for the Giants down the stretch. And I mean, that's not to say he would have done the same for us.
Who knows?
Like, I feel like the change of scenery really helped him. And, you know, we're all rooting for J.D. Davis. We're glad that he's doing well. But that trade just, like you said, it was puzzling at the time and now even more so.
It was unnecessary. I mean, it was unnecessary at the time. Yeah, it clearly just didn't work out.
And I'm
glad they just agreed. I think it was good actually giving Ruff spring training, because I thought they were just going to DFA him in the offseason. And then I was like, wait, he's at spring training. But I'm like, well, he is a major league player. So at least they gave him a chance. That's the thing. They gave him all of spring training. He got a good amount of playing time. He missed the beginning with like wrist issues also. So he
and
may
that
not even
still
be,
could
like,
have been bothering him. I was reading Joel Sherman's article in the Post today, and that still could have been a problem with him, but he just never took off. I mean, you got to cut your losses at some point. And if they let LeCastro go, he wasn't on the 40-man, so he would have been free to sign with anybody. So,
someone would have taken him immediately.
I feel like the team's definitely taking less of a hit losing Ruff compared to if you had lost LeCastro. And I mean, me and you were texting about this before. Buck likes his, as you said, he likes his speed guys like Travis Jankowski.
LeCastro is better than Jankowski.
Yeah, he's a better player. We'll see like how their speed compares. And I saw today that LeCastro has an 89% success rate when stealing bases. So, I mean, that's huge. And with the new rules, he's probably going to steal even more now than he did in the past. But I mean, even watching him with the Yankees the last couple seasons, he really,
he's not terrible at the plate. He's a better hitter than Jankowski.
He's definitely got more pop than Jankowski. Like, he's a smaller guy, but he's got a little bit of pop. He plays a good outfield. Obviously his speed really helps him out there, but yeah, I think, and obviously he's not going to carry this team. He's going to be a bench guy that's going to come in at the end of games, hopefully steal some bases, play a couple times a week, you know. But yeah, I think this team-wise, this was the best move they could have made. But you're right, once they, especially Vientos, like Beatty's different, but once they sent down Vientos, I thought that definitely meant that Ruff was going to make the team.
Right.
Because they kind of fill the same role in a way. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm pleasantly surprised that they kept LeCastro. I'm glad they did that. The guy that won the job, they gave the spot to, you know, like he obviously played the best. He had a really, really good spring. So it's good to see that they're making moves to win.
I do wonder, though, again, like, I think not having Ruff on the team, let's face it, the vibes just weren't great there. Like, the vibes are much better with Tim LeCastro than Darren Ruff. So for that alone, I'm glad that, you know, he'll be moving on elsewhere. But I do kind of wonder how long the leash for Vogelback is. And I know that, like, Buck loves him and he's been sort of a fan favorite, but if you like just look at him as a player, I don't know that he should be like guaranteed to be on the team the whole season necessarily. I think it'll depend, but I just want to kind of explore, you know, they traded for him in the middle of last year. I think they picked up his option. He's making like $1.5 million this year, so even he's making less than Ruff was supposed to make this season. And I just wonder, like, if, and we could talk about this later too, when we start doing some predictions, but I mean, he's good. He's good at the plate, but again, defensively, he's not really a presence. Speed, he offers you nothing, obviously. So I do kind of wonder how long the leash will be there. And I think maybe if Beatty like eventually comes up, that could be a potential corresponding move, because like you think of Vogelback as someone who's going to provide a lot of power. I mean, we haven't really seen that in spring training at all. Again, spring training is a small sample size, so I don't know. But I like him a lot as a person. He seems like he gets along with everyone. But I do wonder how long the leash is there with someone who is not a big financial commitment and is not versatile at all. I wonder if they're really committed to having him on the team the whole season, or if he's someone who, if say you call up Beatty, Escobar obviously is much more valuable defensively than Vogelback, so you could kind of switch them. Like Escobar,
Vogelback's
like
a zero
Vogelback
defensively. He has no.
I mean,
value,
he could back up first base. That's about it. But
I don't even think I think he played maybe like one or two games at first base last
I'd rather
year.
have like Canna back.
I think
up
Canna's
first
gonna be
base,
the backup first baseman.
Which is kind of funny. I didn't even know that. But hey, listen, you know, I'm
but
fine
it
with
gives
that.
them versatility with Canna playing first base because you put him at first, you can move McNeil to the outfield if you need. Escobar can play second if Beatty's up at
Guillorme.
that time. Guillorme, yeah. That's the thing. I feel like Guillorme's kind of the forgotten man, and by myself as well. Like I haven't thought much about him this spring, but we can't forget that when he was given time last year, he was a really good player. And we all know how good he is defensively. But I mean, he was getting on base at like a 350 clip. He was hitting really well. He was hitting close to 300 most of the season. So, I mean, obviously, I don't see him as an everyday player. But if Guillorme's
playing, his bat gets exposed
he's
if he
starting
plays
three
every
times
day.
a week, maybe. And then he's a defensive replacement the other times. I mean, he's a really valuable piece to this team as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's not going anywhere. But that's why I'm saying, again, we can get to this later. But I feel like it's sort of relevant with our discussion now. I like Vogelbach as a person, but at some point, you're going to have to make. I
he's
don't
got to
know
be
how
hitting
much
home
space.
runs. If he's not hitting home runs and drawing walks, he essentially has no value on
exactly.
this team.
I do think that's worth monitoring the first month of the season. Like, if he's really not doing well, they should have no problem. I don't know. I don't think he's someone they should be wedded to, even though everyone
No,
likes
and
him. Because,
I don't think he will be.
Right.
You know? It'll be like a Ruff situation, like you said, or Cano last year. If they're not producing and he's just a hole in the lineup, then they're going to cut ties. But at that point, then you got to think Beatty's up, something's happening. You
Right.
know, like something's going to change drastically if they're getting rid of him. But
right.
hopefully he's good enough where even if he's not the left-handed DH every time against right-handed pitching, I mean, hopefully he's doing well enough to warrant playing a few
right.
times a week, you know. But if he's tearing it up and like he usually hits real well against right-handed pitching. We saw it when he first came over last year. You remember he had that first 2 week stretch where he was so hot and then he fell off. But if he could even just be somewhat close to what he was those first couple weeks, I think that'll be a really big piece of the lineup.
I just feel like this spring he hasn't really been hitting the ball hard consistently in the
and
games
whenever
I've
he hits
seen.
it hard, it gets caught. You know,
yeah,
you see that
and I
video
know
the other
that's
day?
not. Yeah, I know.
He said he couldn't buy a hit.
And that's not his fault, but
the shift will help too. The shift rules, I think, will
yeah,
help
he
him
has
a
gotten
little bit.
Some hits that like wouldn't have been hits with the shift, but I still feel like he's going to be shifted where as much as humanly possible, where they're like in, you know, as much as the new rules will allow, basically. I think he's someone to watch in terms of, I just don't know. They have, like, depending on how the kids are doing in AAA and how he's doing, I really don't think, based on the role that he is currently playing, that he should just be guaranteed a spot on the team the whole year. We'll see. Because I think, you know, say Beatty's doing amazing, you can always have like Escobar DH, who, you know, he's also had a much smaller sample size this spring because of the WBC. So, but he's going to be on the team regardless. So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll see how that goes. But now that Ruff is gone, those were kind of two trade acquisitions from last year. They think there's something else to keep an eye on in terms of how the DH spot is looking, because that was a huge black hole pretty much the entire season, even with Vogelbach doing pretty well as a Met. So something to keep an eye on, especially if like Pham gets a lot of DH time from the right side, depending on how he's doing. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to end up going, but definitely something to watch. If like that's the tandem, then yeah, I'm not like hugely excited about that, but I also think there's room to get creative there.
So you
But
think within the next like couple months, the team could look a lot different? Like, is that what you're thinking?
I mean, I don't think they're just going to like cut Pham if he doesn't do that well. They just signed him to like a 1 year contract, so I don't really know how that's gonna go, but I do think like those two players specifically, especially now that LoCastro has made the team, assuming he isn't terrible, then I just don't know if you need LoCastro and Pham. Like, I'd rather have LoCastro and like Vientos righty DHing. I think the thing is they don't want Vientos just DHing, but he doesn't provide that
Vientos
much
has to
value.
Cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. Like, he still
yeah.
strikes out a ton. Like, I feel like it's more justified them sending down Vientos than it was Beatty, you know? Like, I feel like Beatty had such a – and Vientos had a good spring too, but Beatty had such an awesome spring. And like you said, I know it's a small sample size, but Escobar hasn't looked great in spring training or the WBC. But, I mean, he's a veteran, and we saw how he turned it around late last season. But, like I was just saying, there's so much flexibility. You could put Beatty at third. You could have Escobar play second. You could move McNeil to the outfield. You can do a bunch of
well,
different
like
stuff.
Like, Vientos could back up first. And, you know,
yeah,
if they
but
need
I feel
someone.
Like he's all right at first base. But, I mean, really, Pete's going to play every day. Like,
right.
Pete wants to play every day. He likes the DH, and I'm sure they
he
will
might
DH
DH
him from time to
maybe
time. Like,
once
once
every
every
10
couple
days.
weeks. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's not as much
there's not a huge
space
need
for
for that.
Vientos, you
Yeah.
know? But I feel like Beatty was more justified, but I don't think it'll be long before they're both up, honestly. But I mean, hey, if everything's going well and the team's performing, they won't need to call them up and they'll give them more time at AAA. But
right,
obviously Vientos has had a lot of time at AAA. Beatty hasn't. So it's a little different between the two of them. But yeah, I think I don't know. I was not as shocked about Vientos, but I was pretty surprised that Beatty didn't make the team.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I might have been reversed only because Vientos is a righty and
yeah. Based on the role, yeah. Makes sense.
Based on the role,
based on what I've seen
like,
from each player, you know, like,
because Ruff was basically only playing first base or DHing in the games he played, and that's pretty much what Vientos was doing, except sometimes he'd play third. So that's why I thought they were just gonna actually keep Vientos, maybe give Beatty more time, and then get rid of Ruff. That to me would have made more sense, but I don't know. But then you wouldn't have had room for LeCastro and fans. So if that, I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could go with that, but. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of when their time comes. I also want to talk about, I think they officially announced, or I don't know how official it was, that McGill is going to start the year in AAA, I believe. And then
Peterson
is going to
I
be in
like
the
that.
rotation, which
Yeah, I
I
like
think
that.
Is pretty much the no-brainer move after, after Quintana went down. My mind was like, all right, Peterson. Like,
and Peterson's
obviously.
Looked solid. In the spring, he's looked, obviously we keep saying it, but spring training, but he's looked, I don't think he's given up a run all spring.
I don't think, knock on wood, I mean, spring's over, but
yeah, he's
him.
Not going to continue that, but I mean, we got to remember David Peterson was a first round pick at Oregon. Like, he was highly touted coming up, and when he first in the shortened season in 2020 came up, he was really good. Remember, he made his debut against the Red Sox. We've talked about this a few times, but he's got it in him. And honestly, it sucks Quintana got hurt. Like, nobody wanted that. But it might end up being a blessing in disguise, because when Peterson pitched last year, I mean, he looked – obviously, he took a step back in 21 after his rookie year. His second year, he took a step back. But last year, he looked solid when he had to be in the
rotation. He had,
the
foot injury, too,
then
that
he went to
knocked
the
him out
bullpen.
from
He looked
–
okay. Like, and he seems like a guy who'll take whatever role they're going to give him. But I think he's got a chance to be really good for them this year. He could be in the mid to high threes as ERA if he gets, close to 20 starts, maybe. I think that's possible.
Yeah.
And he's got some swing and miss stuff. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Peterson can do.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, I know they signed Quintana. It sucks that he's going to be out at least half the year, I anticipate. So Peterson, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be in the rotation minimum till July. So I think it's good for him that, because last year he was shuttled around a lot. And I think he earned that five spot, frankly. A lot, pretty much most teams would be thrilled to have him as their number five starter, if you think about it, where some other teams' rotations are. I think he's 100% earned it based on his attitude throughout all of last year. I don't think he's a reliever. I really don't. I think he's a starter. He needs time. Just having watched him pitch, he often tends to settle into the game. And I honestly think McGill's the same way. I don't really know if I see him profiling as a reliever, to be honest. We'll see what his role ends up being. But it just seems to me, based on what I saw this spring, Peterson just seemed a lot more in control. I mean, there were a couple times, walks could still be an issue, but he seemed, between the two of them, it seems to me like Peterson's swing and miss ability is there. And McGill has not really missed
it's
that
there
many
at
bats.
Times, but
it's
sometimes
not,
not.
you would think with someone with McGill's arsenal that he should be missing more bats, and he doesn't. The game the other day where he had five walks or something. If you watch him pitch, the last few times he's pitched, he has impressive looking pitches, but no one swings at them.
And his control, like you just said, is sometimes off.
So I really think if he wants to be a consistently effective starter, I think there's clearly room for improvement there. But
yeah, so that's probably the best move is sending him to AAA,
right?
Because
but,
if we're
yeah.
saying who's
yeah.
most ready, it's probably Peterson
Oh,
right now.
100%. And I think, like I said, I think having him, he's going to have that spot in the rotation now, barring injury, for several months at least. And, who knows what things will be like in July. If anything else comes up injury-wise, he might still be there for the rest of the year. But I think this will be great for him to kind of have that runway, to at least to start the season, depending on how things go, of the spot is yours. You're taking the ball every fifth day. Because let's face it, the role he was in last year was difficult, I'm sure, to him mentally to handle, because he probably felt like he could be a major league starter on a lot of teams, and he didn't really have that role last year consistently at all. So we'll see how he ends up doing, but this is the obvious move based on between the two. There was basically no way you could justify having McGill in the rotation.
And you need a lefty,
him.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, even forget, like, it's nice to have because the Phillies and Braves tear apart right-handed pitching. So, I mean, our bullpen is pretty much all righties. Our starting is pretty much all righties. So
Quintana
lefty. He was. Yeah. So you got to, if you have an adequate replacement that's a lefty, it's kind of like you said, no brainer to replace him with that lefty. I mean, not everything is about left-handed, right-handed, but in this situation, I think it definitely played a role. And with Peterson obviously having the better spring, it made the decision that much easier too.
Yeah, better spring, just more time in the majors overall. I mean, not by a ton,
bigger track record, yeah. Yeah, because the thing, McGill came out of nowhere a couple years ago, you know?
Wasn't he called up from AA in 2021?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he hasn't, when you think about his development, it's like he's sort of also been kind of shuttled from here to there.
Yeah.
So,
but I think the future is bright for both of them.
I do too, but I do think McGill, especially this spring, like his control like really hasn't been there from what I've seen. And so he probably knows that. And so hopefully if he can work on that over the next month or two or however long he's in AAA, that will be beneficial for him. Just
it won't be long
because
he'll be the first starter up when something happens, you know?
Right. But yeah, and he knows where he is in the pecking order. The fact that it basically was down to the two of them, supposedly, even though I'm sure Peterson pretty much had the inside track based on like how things have gone, but thrilled to give him some time and see how he does in the rotation. It seems like, you know, he has worked really hard to improve his command and get more kind of swing and miss on his pitches, which I think we've seen this spring and even last year too. His slider was a lot more kind of devastating against especially right-handed hitters. So yeah, I'm happy for him. It's not how maybe what he expected to, the role he expected to have going into the season since that when they signed Quintana, but you know, he's not there. We'll see. Peterson, for all we know, will end up being better than Quintana would have been, hopefully. So we'll see how that ends up going.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of a good segue into talking about some of our predictions for the season. We kind of thought of a bunch of different categories, may also think of some others as we start recording or continue recording, but basically, just kind of trying to figure out, you know, who's going to rise to the top. And, you know, there's some things that it's pretty obvious who candidates would be. Like, we're not going to talk about, you know, who we think is going to lead the team in batting average because Jeff McNeil won the batting title last year. Or who we think is going to lead the team in home runs because, obviously, Pete Alonso is most likely to lead the team in home runs. So we're going to kind of go away from some of those categories and talk about some other predictions that we have, some ideas that we have for who might shine the brightest this season and other kind of situations that might occur. So one thing we talked about initially was the most likely breakout season. And this is like a player who maybe has been good, but not really gained a ton of attention outside of the Mets sphere, or it could be a player in the minors who didn't come up last year or had some brief time that is going to have a really good season. So Jake, who do you think is most likely on the current like 40 man roster to have a breakout season for the Mets where they become kind of more important than they were previously to the team?
So my original plan was to go with David Peterson, but since we just talked about him a ton, I'm going to throw it out there that I think he's going to be a big part, but I'm going to go with Brett Beatty. I think he's going to be up relatively early in the season before like middle of May maybe. And I don't know, from what we've seen already from him, obviously he was a first round pick out of high school. He's flown through the minors. He's been great at every stop he's been at. When he came up briefly last year, he hit that home run to start, and then he faded off after that. He wasn't that great, but it really seems like he improved his defense this offseason, and we already know he can hit. Like I said, I think it won't be long before he's up. I think he'll have a good run, and I think he's going to finish top 10 in Rookie of the Year this year. That's my prediction. But yeah, I think Brett Beatty.
That would be great.
Yeah, so I think Brett Beatty's going to have a really good year as long as he's given the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you think about it, he really had such a short time in the majors last year. It was like 2 weeks. It really was before he broke his thumb. So it really wasn't that long. You know, things hopefully point in that direction. I think that's a really good choice. Let's see. I'm going to go with a pitcher who had a really good spring training. I don't know if I would call this like a breakout season. We can also talk about a little bit about the bullpen later, too. But in terms of who's going to have like a really good season, I actually think, I don't know, it seems like he's going to be in the opening day bullpen. I don't know. I feel like Steven Nogosek is actually going to have a good season. This may be like a pretty random choice, it seems like he's going to be in the bullpen at least to start the year with how some of the other depth has gone. And I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I think he's going to stick in the bullpen this year. He's sort of been up and down in the past. I don't know if I would call this like a breakout season necessarily, but I think we're going to see him emerge as a... The Mets have had trouble developing relievers from their own system. I mean, Drew Smith in the last few years, well, before him, Lugo, but they haven't really had a lot of draft picks who they've actually developed into quality major league relievers. And I think Negosic, someone who has had shown flashes of being pretty good and then often had a lot of injury concerns. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the bullpen to start the year. I don't know if that's been officially announced.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he's
he
someone I'm going to keep an eye on as like, what situations is he going to be trusted with? Because, you know, after the Diaz injury, which we can touch on again later, everyone sort of moves up in the pecking order. And I think he's definitely going to be in there. I'm also excited to see what John Curtis is going to do, because he's someone they sort of signed in the middle of his Tommy John rehab, basically, who was good for the Brewers before that and looked actually very good in spring training. And it seems like he's definitely going to get a spot in the bullpen to start the year as well. So I think the two of them, again, I don't know if this is a breakout season, but I think those are two bullpen pieces to watch that, like, if the two of them do really well, I think it will kind of boost, you know, the whole quality of the bullpen in general and just the ability for the Mets to close out games and keep games close. So
yeah, he's been really good. Whenever they've
on.
Called him up, he's been solid. You know, like he hasn't been a schmuck. He's been pretty good. And at AAA, he's been really good too. So yeah, I think that's a really good pick.
Especially with
Curtis
Robertson and Ottavino and Drew Smith, like, and Brooks Raley, you know, those four are going to be in there. But I think if you can have beyond those four, like two other guys who are doing really well, and like those are two of them, I think the Mets are going to be in really good shape in the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think their bullpen's going to be, I mean, obviously losing Diaz is a really tough blow and everyone's talked about it a ton, so we don't have to talk about it that much, but losing him, it's like he's almost irreplaceable. But I think with the depth that Billy Epler and company's put together with the bullpen this year, I think they're going to be able to fill the void as well as they would be able to, you know, because it sucks losing Diaz. But when you have a guy like Robertson, and Ottavino was good last year, I don't know if we can expect Ottavino to be as good, but even if he could be just around what he was last year, I mean, you got guys that can fill in. I think Brooks Raley is going to get some save opportunities. And like you said, Negosic, John Curtis is going to be...
Tommy Hunter is in the bullpen. He's always been
good. I love
that
Tommy Hunter made the team. As long as he can stay healthy, I think
he's so underrated.
He's
going to
be a really
he's
good.
He's always
like,
good. Yeah.
He could pitch like the sixth inning. You could give him good spots. So
he could pitch three innings if you need him to.
Yeah. They're in a good spot, I think, right now. So we'll see with injuries and what happens. But yeah, I think their bullpen, the bullpen might be the strongest part of the team, even without Diaz. I'm really confident about this bullpen going in, because I think, compared to last year, we were upset about Joely Rodriguez, or it was Chase and Shreve, the two of them being the best lefties. I think Brooks Raley's way better than both of them.
And also,
so
Robertson has like reverse splits too.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of Mets fans wanted Robertson last year, because he pitches so well against lefties, even though he's a righty. So, and we've seen Robertson do it in New York in the past. He's pitched well in Philly, so he's pitched in some big markets.
He can handle the lights.
Well. Yeah, he can handle it, and he can handle the postseason, which is a big deal. So let's hope we get there, and I think we will, unless something goes really wrong. But yeah, I think our bullpen's in pretty good shape. I like your pick, and Negosic and Curtis is going to be really good too.
So let's segue that. I know one of the other things we had as like a season prediction was most saves. So I think this is sort of a good segue into talking about that. You know, obviously we touched on it. Diaz is probably not going to pitch for the Mets at all this year unless they make a deep postseason run. So, you know, with that said, obviously it seems like David Robertson is the most likely candidate to, if they need a save opportunity on opening day, who's going to get the save, who's going to get the call? I think David Robertson is most likely at this point. If you had to tell me on day one who would be the first guy they would trust in the ninth with a three or less run lead, I think he's the guy. Do you think now, but I also think too, Ottavino did get some, we saw sometimes they had Diaz in the eighth, Ottavino in the ninth. I think he had like four or five saves at the end of last year and pitched well in the WBC. He, you know, sometimes he does walk some guys, and also he's very easy to steal off of. So the only worry I have with Ottavino is like, if guys get on, they're like much more likely to be on second base with him than with Robertson. So that is less helpful when you're trying to save a game. But with that said, between the two, I mean, I personally think if they're going to have to go with, I mean, it also could be some other random person. Maybe Drew Smith gets some save opportunities. He's going to be thrown in there probably a couple times, depending on usage. It's going
to
be more of a closer
by committee. Buck loves to like mix and
committee.
Match too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to, I think it's going to be spread out, you know? Like, you're right. Robertson from day one will probably be the closer. Like, but I don't know if they're going to have a specific closer, you know? Like, I think they'll play to matchups. I think Brooks Raley's going to get some chances out of, you know, Robertson. But yeah, who do you think is going to have the most then?
I mean, I think Robertson's most likely. If they're saying who's most likely to have like 20 plus saves, I feel like him. But I also think
Ottavino. If you had to pick besides Robertson, who would you take? Ottavino, I guess.
Probably Ottavino. I mean, yeah, you're right. I hadn't really thought of really as a closer candidate, but just because usually like the only lefty in the bullpen isn't often a closer, although you never know. I mean, the Phillies have Jose Alvarado closing a lot of games and he's a lefty. So
When Buck had Zach Britton, I mean, he made him his closer. And I'm not saying Brooks Raley is as good as prime Zach Britton, but I mean, he's still pretty good. And he got a few chances with the Rays last year to save some ball games. I know he had a couple blown saves, but I think, like I said, Buck loves to play to those matchups. We saw it last year when he would bring Diaz in the eighth. I mean, it's really smart. If you got the heart of the order coming up and you think the eighth is the most dangerous inning.
Well, if the Mets score five runs in the ninth, then...
Yeah, so you never know. But that'd be great. Yeah, I think it would make most sense that Robertson is probably going to be the quote-unquote closer to start the year. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think Robertson will have close to 20 saves, maybe more. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's another guy like Ottavino that has
like 10.
10. Yeah, like more than 10. Another guy with two or three. Like, I think there's going to be at least four guys on the Mets this year out of the bullpen that'll have at least like one or two saves, you know?
Yeah.
Which a lot of teams don't usually have. Like, usually you have that set guy and then maybe one or two behind them. But I think the Mets could have four guys. Like you said, maybe Drew Smith, maybe John Curtis, if he's going to be as good
or
as
Hunter.
He's been.
I'd trust Tommy Hunter with a 4-run lead.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. So
three or four, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised if they had at least four guys that have save opportunities this season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you'd rather have the lockdown closer that is the guy, but
yeah.
I think they're in a good spot, especially, you know, most teams would love to have David Robertson as their someone who can ascend into that closer role since he's basically been a closer a lot of his career. So mm-hmm. The Mets are very lucky that they actually signed. Well, they're not lucky. They signed him on purpose, but
smart.
It's great that they have him as their basically number two option.
Yeah, and that they brought back out of, you know, brought
in
Raley. Yeah. Billy Upper did a very good job of creating depth in the bullpen this year, I think.
Yeah, and again, you know, the other guys they signed who they've invested in time into, like John Curtis, who most people didn't think about him at all last year when they signed him, but he could be a valuable member of the pen this year. And they saw something in him that they thought was valuable. And based on his spring training numbers, it seemed like he is back and able to be an effective reliever. So he could be someone that... yeah, like we were saying, we'll see how this progresses. Maybe there's someone in AAA that they end up calling up to if there's an injury. You never know. There's not a ton of pitching depth in AAA, to be honest, but we'll see how that ends up shaking out. Okay, so we kind of talked about some of the bullpen situations. Let's talk about we sort of touched on this a little bit, but like, and I think this was a question we talked about last year in our season predictions. But what do you think is like the biggest X factor for success for the Mets this year? Something, whether it's a specific player or like a specific element of the game that needs to go right for them to have a great season.
For me, it's Starling Marte staying healthy, because we saw how good they were last year when he was on the field. And then when he got hurt at the end and what did he break his finger? He broke his finger or something.
And early September.
Yeah. So, I mean, once he did that, obviously the wheels started to fall off a little bit, and they still won 101 games. So, I mean, obviously still a good finish, but they had a rough couple weeks to end the season. But I think he's such a table setter and plays a great outfield, and he's just such a great presence in that clubhouse. I think that's a huge X factor for them, is if they can keep him on the field. And if that means sitting him 1 or 2 days a week, fine. But I think, with the rules different this year, I think he's going to get back to stealing bases. I think, I don't know, he obviously showed some pop last year, and we all know how great of a player he is. He's been around for a long time, and Mets fans, we've been wanting him for so long, and he was as good as advertised, I think, last year. But I think that's a huge X factor. I mean, health in general, but I think specifically when it comes to him, I think that's going to be a big, big reason for the team's success, is him staying on the field.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. In terms of, you know, clearly we saw the drop off after he was out of the lineup. And even in spring, he's, you know, he sort of eased back into spring training, but he's been stealing a few, like the last few games, he's been like stealing bases here and there, you know, going first to third. It seems like his running hasn't really been impeded. I mean, I don't know if he's been sprinting out every single ground ball, but most players don't in spring training anyway. But I think that's a great point. If there's one, if there's a player that clearly makes a difference in terms of in and out of the lineup, he's a great one. I would say the biggest X factor for the Mets this year is hitting more home runs, because I don't know where that's coming from, which is where my concern with the DH position lies, because I don't know where that extra power is coming from with the team that they have constructed. But we clearly saw in the postseason last year, you know, small ball wins you games against bad teams and bad defense, but home runs win you games against good teams. And we clearly saw that they had a great offensive team last year. They scored a lot of runs. They had a high batting average. They were able to manufacture runs. But the problem is, especially, and again, when Marte went out, how many home runs did he hit last year? Like 20 at least? I don't know. But
Marte, you said?
Yeah, how many?
I think he had like 16, maybe.
Okay. So, and again, Escobar has 30 homer potential, but until September, wasn't really hitting consistently.
Canna's power numbers were down from his usual norm.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I think Canna will hit over 20 home runs this season.
I don't know. I would take down. I don't know if he has it.
We'll have to remember that. I'm taking the over on 20.
I'm taking the under on Canna's home run total. I don't think he's going to hit 20. Maybe 15. But that's going to be, I think, a huge part of the game this year. And that's part of the reason, you know, when the whole Correa stuff happened, Correa has a lot of power that wasn't really evident on the team that they were getting from somewhere else. I don't know where this extra power is coming from. You can't expect Pete Alonso to hit more than 40 home runs, like, realistically. That's a great... If he can hit 40 again, excellent. But Jeff McNeil, at his best, is probably hitting 8 home runs in a season.
I mean, he hit over 20 a few years ago, but that's when he was getting away from his gap to gap. And
exactly.
When he's at his best, you're right, he's around 10 home runs.
And I don't know where this power is coming from, unless Escobar gets back to what he can do, or you have Beatty on the team for longer than last year.
Vientos
can hit. You know, I don't know if we're going to see Mauricio this year, but wow. I mean, some of those home runs he hit in spring training.
I just hope they don't trade Mauricio, because I
hope they don't. He has Yordan Alvarez.
That's what I'm saying.
He has Yordan Alvarez.
He reminds me so much of Alvarez.
Exactly.
To build his, like, Alvarez is probably a little thicker than him, but I mean, to see where Mauricio came from a couple years ago, he was skinny as a rail, you know?
He's
now
huge.
He's got that muscle on him. Oh, and that's, and he's a
switch hitter. He hit 450 home runs.
Bombs. And so, I mean, they need to start transitioning him to the outfield, because he's obviously not going to play shortstop.
No.
But
so that's going to be, I think, hugely important to seeing how the Mets play against good teams this year. Because the thing is, elite pitchers give up home runs. I mean, a lot of times in games that, like, Scherzer's pitching or Verlander, you know, they don't allow tons of hits in a row, but the runs that they allow often come on home runs. And so that to me, I think that's going to be the difference in terms of how good their season is. I think if their power numbers are the same or down, I don't know that they're going to be able to replicate 101 wins. If they are somehow able to hit, like, again, we don't necessarily want a team that is one-dimensional offensively, but that to me is the biggest difference, because we talked about it, or people talked about it in the offseason. They need to get more power, because that wins in the postseason. Like, whether you let... I don't care what, like, people are saying about bunting being important. Like, home runs win you games in the postseason. And yeah.
You also have to have a balance. Like, we've seen teams like the Yankees that rely on the home run too much, but they have that balance. They have
that balance to win
centers.
Regular season games against teams that give up more hits in a row than
they
really good
teams.
They
definitely need more power, yeah, for sure.
So we'll see where if that happens or where that comes from, you know. But
last year, like, signing a guy like Kyle Schwarber would have been such a big deal because of the power he brings. You know, like, obviously he has more of that strikeout factor, and
he bats like 220.
But he hit 45 home runs. So, like, I mean, so having a guy like that is huge in the middle of your lineup, and he's so clutch, like, in big games. You know, like, I don't know if you've seen the stat, like, every championship game he's been in, a championship series,
he's homered in every postseason series.
Everything
that he's ever played.
It's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that's gone. That's not going to happen, but a guy like that would be huge for this lineup.
Right. And yeah, like I said, Pete is obviously has consistent 40 homer potential. So, but again, he can't be the only one. And Lindor has like 25 homer potential. I would say that's like what you could expect out of a great
season. But
that's
solid.
But that's great.
Out of a shortstop. Yeah.
Right. No, that's excellent.
He carried his load last season. That's for sure.
And Nimmo could hit 20. I don't know. Depends. I don't know if I would rely on that from him, but you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where this extra power is going to come from unless Beatty and Vientos play to their potential in the major leagues. So that's
I
why
think you're
those
getting
two.
That power more out of Vientos. If they're looking for it, they're going to call him up, you know, if they're not getting it somewhere else. But I mean, Tommy Pham, hopefully, maybe he's got a little pop. He's not gonna play enough to hit you 20 home runs,
right?
but he'll give you
Hopefully
some
not.
pop when he's in there. Yeah, hopefully not. But yeah, you're right. Definitely need more power than last year. That's for sure.
So, kind of staying with like the offensive. Well, we talked a little bit about this. We're just talking before recording about like home runs. You were mentioning, you know, one season prediction. How many people on the Mets do you think are going to hit 20 plus homers or at least 20 homers this season? Because I know last year in like 2019, I remember they set a team record where I think five different guys hit 20 home runs. So I would say that's about the ceiling for the number of players to expect to that to happen. But what do you who do you think that's going to be? And approximately, like how many?
So I said Canna, I think he's going to hit 20 home runs. I think he really is going to. Canna, Lindor, obviously Alonso. So that's three. If Escobar plays enough, I don't see why he doesn't, because last year was an off year for him and he still hit 20 home runs. But I know this is a cop-out answer, but I think out of the third base position, whether it's Escobar or Beatty comes up at some point, I think they get at least 25 home runs out of the third base position. I know, like I said, cop-out.
I think that's reasonable
not just one
expectations.
Person, but so let's just count that as one person. So Escobar / Beatty, so that's one. Canna, two. Lindor, three. Alonso, four.
I mean, Marte could be
I
the
don't,
fifth.
He could, but I don't see him getting to 20 home runs. I want him more getting on base stealing bases. I mean, sure, it's great when he hits a home run, but
he hits a lot of doubles.
He's got the
which
power,
is great.
But he just doesn't. That's not his approach, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if Vogelbach really has a great season and plays every day, he should hit 20 home runs. Like, if you're telling me that he's all season, pretty much your left-handed DH, I don't see.
He better be.
he needs to hit 20 home runs because, like we talked about, we don't have to keep beating it, but what else is he bringing to the table, you know? So, I mean,
I agree.
He needs to supply that. But yeah, so I mean, if they could get five again, that'd be great. But I think it would be 4 to 5.
Yeah, I think that's a good number. I mean, how many home runs did Nimmo have last year? I don't think he had 20, but like, I feel like if he's healthy the whole year, like he was last year, he could get there. I think honestly, Nimmo's more likely than Canna to me, just based on what I've seen like over the last few years. Let's see. Nimmo hit 16 last year. I think I would put him more likely than Mark Canna personally to
really?
Hit 20 home runs. Yeah. I just think based on their like plate, based on their swings, I think, I don't know. That's just my prediction.
Yeah,
but
Morgan Canna's only had one season in 2019 when everybody was hitting home runs. That's when McNeil had his like 20 home run season.
Yeah.
Canna hit 26.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not a definite he's going to, but I don't know. And I've been seeing stuff with him where he said he's changing his approach a little bit to try to hit more home runs. So
he hasn't done a ton in spring. I don't know if he did. Has he hit a home run in spring training? I mean, he's been here the whole time. Like, I don't even think so. That's why I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which, oh, well. But speaking of Canna and Nimmo, those two, I believe, by far led the Mets in hit by pitches last year. I know Pete Alonso also had a bunch of hit by pitches. Who do you think? We talked about this a little bit. Hopefully the Mets don't set another major league record for hit by pitches in a season. I would really like that not to happen and for that ball to not be in the Hall of Fame or in the Mets Hall of Fame like I think it is now. But yeah, who do you think will lead the Mets in hit by pitches next year or this year?
I mean obviously Canna lines up so close to the plate and everything, but I'm gonna say Nimmo. He's just like a ball magnet, and I know Canna was more so last year, but I just see Nimmo, he just gets drilled all the time. He's just always looking for a way to get on base, you know? So I'm going to go with Nimmo.
Yeah, interesting. I think Canna actually will lead the team again in hit by pitches. I don't know. I just feel like for some reason, he just seems like, not that he's going up there like looking to get hit
no,
by
but
a pitch,
he's so close to the
but
plate.
He's
Like, it's
also talked about specifically not backing off of the plate because he like, this is part of his game. And so I think the fact that, I don't know if Nimmo goes up there like hoping to get hit. I don't think so. I think it just tends to happen sometimes. I think that's more consciously like part of Canna's approach at the plate. I don't know how you can approach that at the plate to be wanting to be hit, but I feel like he's more likely to lead the team again. And
I feel like there's no wrong answer here.
hopefully,
They're both.
hopefully no one else. Or maybe LeCastro also gets hit by a ton of pitches. So
yeah, but I doubt he'll play
if he
enough.
plays enough to lead the team and hit by pitches, I don't know if that's like a
I think
great sign.
That's a problem.
But yeah, I'll take Hannah on that one just because I think he's talked about it more. I think he's more likely to not really get out of the way from a pitch than Nimmo. So that would be my pick. Let's see. We also talked about this. Well, not really, but who you think is most likely to have the most walk-off hits for the Mets this year? Who's going to, like, I think last year, I don't know if anyone, a couple people tied with, like, two each. But if you had to pick a Met who's going to be most often have their jersey ripped off at the end of a game, who do you think that's going to be this year?
I'm going to go with Lindor. I just feel like he's such a clutch player, you know, and he always comes up in big spots, especially last season. And he doesn't run from the big spots, and I feel like pressure doesn't really get to him. I mean, obviously he had his struggles in his first season, but I don't really count that because he's got to adjust to his new team and all that goes with it. But yeah, I'd say Lindor. He's right in the heart of that lineup. There'll be guys getting on in front of him in big situations in the ninth inning or extra innings. So yeah, I think Lindor would be my pick.
I think that's a good pick. He had at least one last year, maybe
yeah,
two.
A couple.
I think he won in April, I think. I forget what else, but I think that's a good pick. We haven't really talked a ton about him yet this episode just because he's so entrenched at the shortstop position that there's not a lot of like variability to really discuss there. But, you know, he had an amazing season last year at the plate and in the field. And yeah, I think he's definitely someone I want at the plate with the game on the line. I also think too, I'm going to go with McNeil for this only because I feel like he's just the most likely on the team to get hits. It really depends on if the guys in front of him get on, but I've said this for the last like season now. If there's one person I want at the plate and the Mets need a hit, it's Jeff McNeil. And so that I'm going to go with him. And I think he had maybe one walk-off hit last year. I don't remember. He had definitely had one the year before, but I'm going to go with him. I think he's going to have at least a couple. You know, he, especially like in, if you have the bases loaded and you need a 2-run single, like he's the guy for that. I feel like there's so many times when the Mets are struggling with runners in scoring position and Jeff McNeil comes up and gets a hit. And it's just like, ah, like, yes, thank you. That's what we needed. And so I think he's going to have a couple big moments this year. I don't know when or against who, but given his propensity for putting the bat on the ball, I think he's going to come up big with some hit to end the game at some point.
It's a good choice.
Okay, let's see. What do you want to go to next? We have a few other kind of predictions that I wrote down. How about... Oh, we talked a bit about like Beatty, Alvarez. We didn't really talk about Alvarez, but Beatty, Vientos, Alvarez, between the three of them, over under by May 1st, which one is most likely to be called up, if any, and who do you think?
I'm going to say it's going to be before May 1st, and I think it's going to probably be Vientos. I just think because of the role that he's going to be needed for that we've talked about, the right-handed DH, and with them not having Ruff now, they don't really have a guy set in that position. Like, obviously, Tommy Pham's going to get some at-bats. Escobar is going to hit from the right side because I think they're going to play Guillorme at third a little to start the season, and Escobar will be that right-handed DH. But I think just because of the specific role, and you never know with injuries, but I would say Vientos is going to be called up before May 1st. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Beatty either. I'd be very surprised if it's Alvarez. I think that would be because of an injury or something, because I just think they want him to develop for a couple months before they bring him up. But I think he'll be up before the All-Star break as well. But who knows? I mean, with Omar Narvaez, he's looked pretty good this spring. So who knows what he's going to do?
Nito's yeah, looked pretty good at the plate, too.
I would say
actually.
I would take the under on the May 1st, and I would say my pick would be Vientos.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because, again, I feel like if that happens, something happened on the 26-man roster. And I'm trying to think, like, what that would be exactly. But, I mean, I think it kind of depends. Say, like, LeCastro or Pham get injured. I think Vientos is up because then if one of them's on the aisle, if they need to replace with another hitter, who I think because they're both righties. So I think that would definitely happen. I think Beatty getting called up. I don't know like what I think Vientos is more likely before May 1st. I think I'm going to take the over on Beatty. I don't think he's going to be called up in April, honestly. I think they want to give him like a month at least at AAA, frankly, because he didn't really have that much time there at all. So I think between the two, I agree with you on Vientos. I don't think they're going to call up Beatty in April, honestly. based on, but the thing is he's hit so well in spring training. He really has improved with the glove. I think they also want to see maybe him defensively in more games from start to finish. Even though, again, you know, there were concerns with Pete's defense before 2019, and he turned out to basically not be an issue. So I think it's going to be a similar thing for Beatty, although third base is more of an exposed defensive position than first, generally speaking. But yeah, I'm going to take the over for Beatty and also Alvarez. I think the only way he gets called up is if one of the catchers gets injured. And even then, I think, honestly, Michael Perez would probably be called up in a pinch, like, before him if it happens in April. So,
because if they're going to call up Alvarez, Buck Showalter said it's not to be our backup catcher. Like, he's going to play. So,
right.
Got to be a position or a situation where they're ready to give him the reins and start him at least 3-4 times a week, you know, and not just DH him, because they want him to develop as a catcher. Like, if they were set on him just being a right-handed DH, I think, honestly, he might be on the team right now. But they want him to develop as a decent defensive catcher, and that's going to take time in AAA.
I agree. And I'm also curious, just on the catching front, this doesn't really relate to who's going to get called up May 1st, but we saw a lot of Kevin Parada in spring training, who they drafted as a catcher out of, I think, Georgia Tech last year, who's their first-round pick. I think he's already one of their top prospects in the organization. I mean, he had some good defensive moments this spring. I think he's also someone to watch to, like, rise pretty quickly through the system, especially depending on how Alvarez is doing. It'd be a great problem for the Mets to have if they have two stud catching prospects in their system. Like, you know, the Blue Jays seem to just manufacture stud catching prospects, like, out of nowhere. So he's also someone to watch, not to necessarily get called up this spring, but also defensively to, like, if he's, I don't think his offensive ceiling is necessarily as high as Alvarez, but I do know his senior year in college, he raked for Georgia Tech, and that was last year.
That's his calling card, is his bat. So
I think, but he looked pretty good defensively. Yeah, I mean, he played a lot, and he threw out a guy to end the game once. He had, like, a game ending caught stealing. He seems to have a good arm, at least, you know, that just shows some potential. I don't recall that, like, issues with passed balls or, like, wild pitches or anything, or, like, that didn't, which, honestly, catching defense sometimes, if you don't notice it, it's probably pretty good. That's sort of one of those things where if you really, like, if things are going pretty well, you probably aren't thinking a ton about your catcher's defense unless they're throwing people out and doing amazing things. So
unless they're Gary Sanchez and letting everything
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's not a good sign. Although he's also still unsigned somehow, which, like, does surprise me.
Yeah.
Really. But I'm curious to see what Kevin Parada's development is and how that, like, will parallel what Alvarez is doing, because ideally, I mean, Parada is also, like, older than Alvarez, and probably so
he's more developed because of he
might, like, be better defensively today than Alvarez. So it's interesting to see. They have, you know, Alvarez we've heard about for a few years, but, like, Parada, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, like, thinking about him, but I really think, like, I'm very curious to see, like, how he does in, I'm not sure what minor league level he's at this year. Maybe high A?
I'll probably start him at high A, but yeah. I feel like it won't be long before he's at double A. And then Alvarez gets called up, because they're not going to put Parada in the same spot as Alvarez because they both need to play. But I think once Alvarez gets called up to the majors, I think then Parada will shortly after be the catcher in triple A.
Right, because he's had less time in the organization, but
but like you said, he's probably more developed to this point
as a catcher now than Alvarez. So,
I think by next year, Parada will be making some noise on the major team.
I'm excited to see what his development is and how Alvarez is doing and how one might affect the other, depending on, like, how things are going. So
it's good, like, motivation for the two of them, you know? So
yeah, I just think he's someone to keep an eye on as, you know, a potentially very important prospect, depending on, again, how Alvarez's development is. Because we saw some, you know, some impressive defensive moments. I know he had a couple of, like, I don't know if he threw people out. I don't know if he had a caught stealing, but I know he, like, picked a guy off at first base once.
Yeah. No, Alvarez
has a strong arm.
Yeah, he's got a hose. Yeah.
So I think his, like, behind the plate defense can still use some work, though. And so that's where we're going to see him working with pitchers. I mean, he's so young still. Like, that's the thing. I think they're going to give him some time. But also excited to see, what the future of Mets catching could be. It's not just him. I think Parada has a lot of potential to be an important player for them down the line if he continues to develop. So that's something else to consider. Okay, I think we have a few more categories here. Another thing we talked about before starting recording was who's going to lead the team in pitch timer violations. Because I know in spring training, they've been kind of working out the kinks with the system. some Mets have been more under the radar about it than others. So who do you think? What pitcher is going to have the most pitch clock violations?
I'm going to go Max Scherzer just because I feel like he's been the most outspoken about it this offseason. And he, not that he's like a slow worker, but he definitely likes to move at his own pace. So
he tries to manipulate. It almost is kind of annoying sometimes. I'm like, just throw the ball. Like, don't hold it to 1 second.
So I think veteran umpires are going to give guys like Scherzer a little more leeway. I mean, but you can't give him that much. But I don't know. I just think with the way he's been the most outspoken about it, I mean, maybe that means he'll be the most like in tune with it. I don't know. But if I had to pick one, I'd say Scherzer, or maybe a guy like Senga that is coming over to a whole new game, basically, you know, like new rules and everything. But I'm going to go with Scherzer.
I 100% agree. He's really been trying to like game the system a little bit, which could work to his advantage. But I also think if umps know he's doing that, they might give him less leeway, honestly. Like if it's out there that he's like trying to kind of see how much he can stretch the new rules. I think if umpires know that, then they might not be super lenient. I'm trying to think who else has a super slow windup. Ottavino has a really slow delivery. I think he probably will get dinged a few times. But
if we're going outside of the organization, Kenley Jansen, the guy is slow as molasses.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to have a few.
No, for sure. I'm trying to, I don't know if there's any other pitchers that have like been notably caught or.
Imagine if Steve Traxel was pitching today.
The slowest man. Wasn't his nickname like the human rain delay? I remember.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was. I remember my dad was saying that he went to a game
so slow
once that was like 3 hours and it was like the fifth inning and like Steve Traxel was pitching. So that I know. I think people have like. I think he's on Twitter. Like some people have tagged him.
I'd love to have him on and talk to him about that. The
why were you so slow? Yes, I would love to know. Yeah, and okay. In terms of hitters, I don't think we've really seen that many Mets hitters actually have notable violations of the pitch clock. Like, I know people have talked about like Canna and Alonso being.
I could see Canna from as a hitter. Canna,
I could see that, but I also feel like he hasn't had any issues in spring training.
Yeah,
so far that I've noticed. Like, I'm trying to remember actually if there's anyone that sticks out. Any Mets hit? Like, I don't even know. Actually, there probably are.
Really, I saw a lot around the league, but I didn't really see.
In terms of Mets hitters getting dinged for not being ready, there weren't a lot. I don't know. Even Pete, like, I know people talked about that. And I know he was also away at the WBC for a while. But I don't know if he's actually going to have issues enough where he's not going to be ready when they need to be ready. Like, I think it might just...
I think in the first month, it's going to take some getting used to. But I think by mid-season, guys will have, like, no excuse. You know, like, everybody's playing at the same game.
Yeah.
I mean, minor leaguers said the same thing. It took a little time to adjust when they had to do it. But, I mean, by mid-season, you're used to it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think in April, there's going to be a lot of like arguments and a lot of like small things going on because of it.
Yeah.
But I think that
I think it's going to impact the Mets more. Yeah. I'm thinking specifically Max Scherzer is going to be the person to watch here. There's no hitters to me that stick out is going to have a huge issue with this. Maybe Canna or Alonso get like very occasionally violent. I just don't see it being a huge issue with either of them. I think they both, it hasn't come up so far, so I don't anticipate that being a big issue.
But a guy like Alonso's got to change his whole routine because, you know, he would have, like, those half swings he does.
Yeah, take deep breaths. I know. McNeil sometimes does that, too. McNeil
back,
might get a couple.
Breathe into his shirt. You know, like, David Wright had a lot of, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Jeter with the gloves or Garcia Parra. Like, all these, like, big-time players, I feel like that was, like, part of their routine. And that would just, in today's game, it'd be gone.
I'm curious. I really hope Jeff McNeil doesn't have any pitch timer violations because...
He might lose his mind.
Not looking for if Jeff McNeil strikes out based on a pitch timer violation.
He's gonna get ejected.
He's not gonna be playing the rest of the game. Like I'm.
And he might
not
get
I'm
suspended.
Looking forward to that, but I feel like that's not gonna go well for everyone.
It's gonna happen. That's why I wish they had a little more leeway when there's like two strikes or it's a big situation. Like
maybe they
like
will because people have
maybe in the eighth ninth inning
that.
It shouldn't be there. You know, like or
yeah.
Something.
But then do you change the game like during the game? I don't know.
Maybe yeah, it's
that's a tricky situation.
It's tricky. Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, but
I feel like at some point the rules are going to be somewhat adjusted at some point during the season. Like I feel like baseball, Major League Baseball always makes sure to change something in the middle of the year, whether it's sticky stuff or whatever's going on, the baseball, like whatever. I think there's going to be, if there's a big outcry that continues, because like spring training is one thing, but if it really affects like big situations in the season, I think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment from the league too as well.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, even with like this checking for like substances. I also think there's a possibility that it becomes slightly more lenient as the season goes on and people might become a bit less vigilant. I think people have been very vigilant about it in spring training because it's so new and like in the spotlight. I have a feeling this might get a little bit more lax as the season goes on, which would be ideal, I think, just in terms of people not being stressed about the clock so much. But yeah, we'll see how it is at the beginning of the year. But I don't see any Mets hitters, honestly, having a big issue with it. I really don't. Yeah,
hope so.
What else do we have? Oh, something else we talked about. So I feel like every year there's always games that, like, whether it's due to a doubleheader, an injury, or what have you, where like somebody starts a game that you've never heard of. And so who do you think? And this is hard to predict because we don't know who we haven't heard of. But like, based on who's currently on the 40-man roster, or like maybe someone who's on AAA or something, who do you think is someone that is not projected to be a starter for the Mets this season that will start a game?
So it's not a guy we haven't heard of, but a guy that nobody expected to be with the team recently. But I'm going to go Dylan Bundy. They just signed him to a minor league deal.
Good choice.
He's going to be in AAA. It wasn't Elizabeth Knows. We were talking about it before we recorded. That was not my choice. I didn't know who to pick.
That's a good choice.
I was thinking about it, and obviously people know who he is. He's been around for a little while. He's had some success. But, yeah, I think if we're going of obscure people that nobody thinks is going to start for them, I'm going to go Dylan Bundy.
I think, yeah, I actually – you're right. I forgot they just signed him because he's what? He's going to be in triple. Is he even on the 40 man?
I don't think he's on the 40 man, but I think they just signed him to a minor league deal. So he's going to start the season in AAA. I told you I was going to go with Jose Buto, who's already started once for them, but I think he's definitely going to get a start this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going with Bundy.
The thing is, Bundy's not that good, but if you have to think of someone,
he's not a horrible guy.
If you have to think of an emergency starter for the Mets, like that's not terrible. That's not a bad option.
Remember, like, and no offense to him, but like PJ Conlon, these guys that we'd call up for one start and they never pitch again. Like
Ariel Jurado. Does anyone remember when he started a game in 2020? Yes. And I was like, who is this?
So, I mean, you never know. But yeah, Bundy's not horrible. I mean,
that's not a terrible like eighth.
Take out a AAA and he'll be like the fourth guy. Because you think Luke Casey's a AAA, he's going to be called upon at some point. There's going to be other guys. But I mean, you need like almost like 10 guys to start a game in a season, sometimes more. So yeah, I think Bundy. Bundy will probably get a start.
He probably will start at least one game. I honestly, this is going to be super random, but the reliever they just claimed off waivers, Dennis Santana, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling he's going to like be an opener at some point because he's not like that good.
He's got some good stuff.
But he isn't, I have heard of him. I don't know why. I just like have a feeling there's going to be a doubleheader where they have no one and like he's going to start. They're going to go with a bullpen game. I feel like he's not likely to be trusted with super end of game scenarios, which is why it's actually more likely if they need an opener, they're not going to go with like Ottavino, Robertson, Drew Smith, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like I just have a feeling Dennis Santana, if he's in the bullpen, he's going to be like the eighth man in that bullpen. I think he would be a likely candidate for like an opener spot if they needed someone to start the game and they had no other starters available. So let's see if that comes true. I hope that doesn't happen.
We'll have to check back on all this.
We'll have to check back on this. But I was just scrolling through their names and I was like, oh, because I just feel like that's someone. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what his role is going to be. He might be like a kind of a random person. There's also Eliezer Hernandez, who doesn't impress me that much, but he may start a game.
Yeah.
I feel like if they need like an actual reliever to be an opener, I feel like Dennis Santana might be a candidate for that. But again, hopefully this doesn't happen. But these things always come up every year. Jose Buto, that guy, Nate Fisher, who's like a banker who pitched 3 scoreless innings in that game. Remember him?
Yep.
Who knows? There's going to be people we've never heard of that are going to do things that we could not have anticipated. All right. Let's do one more season prediction. I'm trying to. What else? What's like the last thing you want to touch on here?
You want to just predict division winners?
Oh, sure. Sure. Oh, well, one other thing before we do that. I know we also had talked about a player the Mets are going to trade for.
Yeah, I like that.
I know you were excited about this one. So who do you think is a player that's currently on another team? That is, I guess it could be a prospect, but let's go with a major league player that the Mets will acquire this season.
I'm going with David Bednar, the closer from the Pirates. I think they're going to want to have some more bullpen depth, and we'll see if there's more injuries, whatever. I know we talked about a lot. There's going to be a bunch of guys getting save opportunities, but I think with losing Diaz, you want to get that shutdown closer, and Bednar's really good. We saw him pitch for USA and WBC. He was an all-star last year with Pittsburgh. So, I mean, obviously, a lot of people like to say Alexis Diaz, but we'll see about that. But yeah, I'm going to go with David Bednar.
That's a good pick. Yeah, I don't know who I'm going with for this. I feel like it'd be more likely to be a reliever because relievers always get moved at the deadline. You know, I don't think anyone's really expecting the Pirates to be great this year, but you never know. I mean, he's probably, like, let's face it, they're probably not going to be great this season. So I think it's fairly likely he gets traded at some point if, you know, they're not having a good year. But yeah, that's a good candidate because I'm trying to think of teams unlikely to compete this year will be selling at the deadline. I mean,
what about a guy like Carlos Santana who signed with the Pirates? Like, could they trade for him if Vogelbach doesn't work out as a left-handed DH? Who
the trade for another Pirates base? DH? Because
yeah, he can also play first base. Yeah, he was.
That's a good idea. Yeah, he seemed fun on the Mariners. I'm surprised that like he went to the Pirates, to be honest. But like, I'm surprised like no other team would have wanted him because he's not that bad. But that's a good idea. Yeah. Who else? Let me look through teams. Is there anyone in the Nationals they would trade for? Well, probably Dom not. Smith. They're not going to trade for Dom Smith, but I really hope he has a good year, honestly.
They could trade for a reliever like Carl Edwards Jr. He's all right.
Yeah. Kyle Finnegan. He's like closed some games for the Nats.
I think that would be it if it was like a good reliever, but
yeah,
they don't really have much to offer.
I'm not really sure. I mean, I feel like the Orioles, if things are going well in Baltimore, they're not going to be sellers, but they also were having a decent year last year and still traded a bunch of people at the deadline. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to predict unless there's someone in the Royals, maybe Scott Barlow. Isn't he? He's like pretty good for them.
Yeah. Chapman. I know people don't like Chapman.
Oh, God,
but
no.
I know, but I'm just saying he might get moved at some point.
He might get moved, but like not to us. Sorry. Like that's not happening. No, thank you. I do not want to deal with him.
I can't wait till he gets traded here, and then I'm going to just cut that clip. Not happening. I'm going to post it.
Well, there's no way that
I know.
He's terrible. The thing is,
I don't want him. I'm just saying.
He's not even that good. Like, anyway. No, he's but not. Don't even put that thought into the universe. Yeah. I feel like, because again, who's like not going to be that good? I feel like the White Sox are also candidates to be like,
oh,
underperformers this year.
I think if Liam Hendricks comes back, obviously he's got cancer, and we hope that he comes back healthy.
They're
and
not gonna
his life
him.
Is more important. Well, the Mets before he was sick,
yeah, I know, but
trading for him, and I think this is the last year of his deal. So if they're not good, why wouldn't they trade him? If he comes
because
back,
because he's had like dealing with cancer.
Yeah,
I don't
but
think
he's already
trade
throwing.
Him.
I mean, they think he could be back by like middle of May. So
really,
yeah, May or
I don't
June.
Know how long his treatment's supposed to be. I didn't know that. I thought he was gonna be out like the whole year. Maybe
yeah,
I'm
I
wrong.
Saw that the other day, Lance Lynn was getting interviewed, and they're good buddies, and he said, best case scenario, he could be back by June.
Oh. I mean, maybe. I don't see them trading him.
Or
just
Eloy
because...
Jimenez. I saw they dug into him a little bit for some power.
He's so injury-prone, though. I mean, he
I know,
gets
but
injured, like, every week.
If he's healthy, and you could even just DH him, you know?
Yeah, no, he would be a DH if they got him,
yeah.
I think. He's not that great defensively.
Mm-mm. But, yeah, I mean, you could put him out there from time
I think
to time.
They're a good candidate for a team that might... Rocky, who the Rockies have? I don't know. Brewer, I'm actually interested to see what the Brewers do. I mean, we could segue this. We can finish up. I know it's been a pretty long episode. Talk about division winners briefly. But I think the Brewers are also candidates to have a really underwhelming offense this year. Although, of course, now that I say this, that's like not going to happen. But I don't know who they would actually be trading. I mean, do you think they trade Corbin Burns? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
After the arbitration stuff?
Yeah, they had some problems, but that's going to
that would be
take a lot to
pretty devastating.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the Mets are going to trade for him, but I think there's a non-zero chance he gets traded by this year if they're not doing well. Although we saw them trade Josh Hader when they were in first place, which I still don't get. So,
no.
Yeah, other than that, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. The White Sox, to me, even though they have a new manager, I don't know that I believe in them for this year. Royals, same thing, even though they have some talented young position players. So... we'll see. Maybe Greinke gets traded. I don't know. I mean, the Mets aren't going to trade for him, but like, I don't know. I don't know if I see them trading him though, because he's sort of like an institution in Kansas City now that that's now come back after he started his career there.
Yeah. And the young guys love him. So.
Yeah. So I don't know if they would trade him after kind of all the fanfare. We'll see. But I think there's definitely some guys on like some of those teams that will get moved. We'll see. Rockies are always puzzling. Who knows?
There's always a team that everyone thinks is going to be good that falls off that ends up trading their guys, you know?
Right. We'll see. In terms of hitters that get moved, I don't know. I feel like it's easier to predict, like, good relievers on bad teams than, like, hitters on bad teams, in terms of who's going to get traded. Look, that's a long way away. We could discuss that closer to the time. But I like the David Bednar idea, I think, made sense last year. If he has a good season, it would make sense again this year. So we'll keep an eye on how he's doing in Pittsburgh and how they're doing in general.
All right, so before we go, why don't we each pick? We'll just do it quickly. Who we think's going to win each division?
All right, let's start with. You want to start with the NL East or start with another division and do them last?
Yeah, we'll do them quick. I'll name a division. And you tell me who you think's going to win. Ready?
Okay.
NL East, go.
I'm going to say the Mets, but I don't know that I believe that they're better than the Braves. I don't know that I believe that because the Braves have yet to be unseeded in the last 5 years. I think. Phillies could win it. I don't know. I don't know that I think the Mets are going to be great this year, but I really think all three teams are going to have a shot at winning the division. Yeah. I'm going to say the Mets because let's go Mets.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, for the sake of the show, I'm going to say the Mets, but I agree with you. I mean,
the Phillies are, I think,
you
got
to respect the
year.
Braves. You know, you got to respect the Phillies. The Braves won the division. Phillies went to the World Series, so it's not going to be tough. It's not going to be easy sledding by any means, but. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Mets just for the sake of the show. All right, and then we got the NL Central. What do you think?
I think if the Cardinals don't win the division, then it's a huge
complete,
disappointment
yeah,
for their organization. Frank, based on the state of, I don't believe in the Brewers this year, based on their offense. And, I mean, they have really good – they have some really good players. If Yelich has that bounce-back year that, like, everyone's been waiting for 3 years, then maybe they're great. I don't know that I believe in them to win the division. I think the Cards are going to win it. Cubs might be there.
Cubs
the
are
Cubs,
a nice
up and coming
team.
Decent.
I could see them making a run to wild card, the Cubs, but I just don't think they're ready to win that division. But I agree. I think if the Cardinals don't win, it'd be very surprising. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well.
I agree.
All right. Then the NL West.
I think the Padres are going to win the division. I don't know. The Dodgers, that's the only thing.
Dodgers seem like they're falling off a little bit.
The Dodgers don't overwhelm me this season, but they are a great organization and they develop players really well. So they're the easiest candidate for a team that brings up random people that are stars. It's always the Dodgers. Like random pitchers that you've never heard of will throw seven shutout innings, or random relievers, they'll plug in. But I'm going to pick the Padres because with all the star power they have, and even though the Dodgers also have star power, but the Dodgers rotation, like, I mean, if Syndergaard has a great year for them, then they're not looking that deep on paper.
Syndergaard, Dustin
level.
May's back. They got a
Dustin May's
guys,
back.
But they lost Heaney. They lost Tyler Anderson. So
Kershaw's health is a question mark, I think.
Yeah. You know he's going to miss some time.
He's going to miss some time with a back
JD
issue.
JD Martinez. They lost Trey Turner.
They lost Turner because they have the drop off in offense from Turner to Miguel Rojas is significant.
Yeah. Gavin Lux tore his ACL. He's out for the year.
I'm going to pick the Padres because I think if they don't win the division, then a lot of their stars underperformed, and that will be disappointing for them. So I'm going to pick them.
Okay, yeah. I'll just to play devil's advocate, I'll go with the Dodgers. I just think you gotta unseed them first, you know? So
no, I agree, and that's why I was like, I didn't really want to,
like, your argument with the Braves, kind of.
The Braves have yet to be, you know, unseeded. We were close last year, but we
not
they didn't
close
do
enough.
It. So,
but yeah,
I do think. This is more of a wild card. I do think the D-backs are going to be sneaky this year. I think they really could be in the running for a wild card spot. I think it could be I would say the top six teams for playoff spots based on who made the playoffs last year, Mets, Phillies, Braves, Cards, Dodgers, Padres. I think one of those teams really underperforms. The Cubs or the D-backs will be the other wild card. That's my prediction.
Okay.
That's not really a prediction. That's just very hypothetical.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
But I think they have a lot. Zach Allen has another great season. Corbin Carroll, they just signed for like an 8-year extension.
Yeah, they have some good young players.
Yeah. I think they're going to be pretty decent.
Yeah, they should.
They might be like the seventh best team in the NL. But one of them are the Cubs. I don't, again, the Brewers, I don't want to like totally pick against them, but I don't know. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
All right, let's go with the AL West. Who's going to win the AL West?
The Astros. Again, if they don't win it, something happened to their team like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I believe in the Mariners. I think they're going to make the playoffs again. I don't think they're going to be better than the Astros. So I definitely think the Astros are going to win the division again.
Yeah, I'll go with the Astros. I think the Mariners are going to give them a run for their money. And hopefully, just for the sake of
make
Mike
it a
Trout,
competition, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully. But I hope Mike Trout plays in some big games. So hopefully they're up there and get a wild card spot, the Angels. But, Yeah, I mean, I think the Mariners have a good shot at giving the Astros a run for their money. But yeah, I mean, the Astros are world champs. They've been so good for almost like 10 years now. So, I mean, you'd be kind of hard pressed not to go with the Astros. So we'll go with them. All right. And then we'll go to the AL Central. What do you think?
I think the Guardians. I
Guardians.
think
It's crazy
they
how
keep
they
it.
just continue to be good and they get rid of players and they're.
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten worse since last year.
No, they
And
got Josh Bell in the lineup now.
I think they're going to be at least as good.
I think Tristan McKenzie is going to be even better. I mean, I know he's hurt right now, but he'll come back strong, hopefully. But yeah, they have a good team. I'm going to go with the Twins. I think with them keeping Correa, they got Tyler Mahle now for a full season. They traded for Pablo Lopez. Obviously, they lost Luis Arraez in that trade. But yeah,
Yeah.
I think the Twins, if they stay healthy, I think they have a really good shot to win that division. I think that's going to be the tightest division race in all of
Again,
baseball.
yeah.
And maybe besides the NL East, but like if we're not talking about them, I think the AL Central is going to be a really good race too. Because if the White Sox are healthy, I mean, they have a shot as well. The
Yeah.
Tigers have some young talent. The Royals remind me a lot of the Orioles from last year, where they have some young up and coming guys. Maybe they can hover
They might
close to
win 80
500.
games, the
Yeah, if they could be
Royals.
close to 500, it'd be a good season for them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the Twins.
Yeah, I just don't know if I believe in some of the Twins starters. I don't know if I believe in, like, Kenta Maeda coming back from Tommy John. Tyler Mahle, I just don't think he's that good. I mean, he's fine. I don't know. Like, and they
He's
have a
in a
couple.
contract year, so I feel like he's gonna try to put his best foot forward.
Yeah, I just think losing Arraez, I don't know if they're, I mean, they kept Correa. I don't know if I believe in the Twins overall as much as I do the Guardians based on the players they have. I just think that. Yeah, the Twins have they have a lot of good pieces, but and I'm going with a lot of incumbents from last year, except I guess the Padres winning the division, but I think the Guardians are going to be good again. They have the same young players that did great last year, hopefully do great again this year or do even better. They had Stephen Kwan, who I think was third in Rookie of the Year voting, who has incredible bat to ball skills, who's probably going to be their leadoff hitter, I think. They have a lot of they have Jose Ramirez locked up. They signed Josh Bell. They have, I think Bo Naylor is going to be doing some catching behind the plate, who's Josh Naylor's brother, who is one of their top prospects. I thought he's not in the majors to start the year, though. I think he's in AAA,
Yeah,
but
he's good. I think he played for Team Canada or something in
yes, he did.
WBC. He played well.
Their outfield, yeah, I forget. The Oscar Gonzalez, I know
Miles Straw is their
Miles
starting center
Straw,
fielder.
who's a really good defensive center fielder, Stephen
Kwan.
Kwan, Jimenez Rosario. You know, they've got a lot of good players. I really
They
think
do.
they're going to be good again.
They do. So, and then last but not least, who do you think for the AL East?
This is tough. I think this is the year I think the Rays are not going to make the postseason. That's a bold claim. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Orioles are going to be better than the Rays this year. I don't think either is going to win the division, but I think Yankees or Blue Jays. I mean, I know the Yankees have had some injuries to start the year. I think I'm going to pick them over the Blue Jays just because the Blue Jays have yet to show me they can win the division. So I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think the Rays are not. I think it's going to be. And this is just like pure speculation based on the offseason. I think the three wild cards are going to be Mariners, Orioles, and whichever one of Yankees or Blue Jays does not win the division. But I'm going to go Yankees, actually. I don't know. They didn't really get worse from last year, although their pitching to start the year is going to be questionable in the rotation, but. Especially if they have Volpe at shortstop, who, you know, gives me a little FOMO knowing that like they have all this fun. Him's gonna make the opening day roster content, and
Good for
meanwhile,
Volpe, though. Like,
good
he's
for
a
him,
New Jersey
honestly.
kid, grew up a huge Yankees fan, idolized Derek Jeter, and now he's going to be the opening day shortstop for the
I
Yankees.
hate to pick them to win the division, but I think they're gonna win the division
Yeah.
again. I think Blue Jays are gonna be there, but yeah, I think
Yeah.
this is the year the Rays are not gonna win 90 games, and I like the Rays. They got Glasnow's gonna be injured to start the year again. I don't know if I see all the random pieces for them coming together necessarily, but
I feel like we say
could
that
be
every
wrong.
year,
I
and it
say that
always
every
works
year and they
out.
always win 90 games. So
Yeah,
I
just
don't
another
really.
good organization, you know.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I think it's a toss up, like you said, between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And just to play devil's advocate again, I'm going to go with the Blue Jays. I think this is their year. I mean, the Yankees are going to be great, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees make a run to the World Series. Like, I know all Mets fans don't want to hear that, but the Yankees have a great team, like they always do. But I think with the Blue Jays' young talent, they added Dalton Varsho this year. They added Chris Bassitt, who
Bassett.
I'm going to be rooting for hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to be another great race. There's a lot of going to be a lot of great races this year, but I think the Blue Jays could come out on top.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think they really could. Yeah. It's again, it's more just about like what existing group has shown the ability to win the division. Clearly, the Yankees did it last year.
Yeah.
You know, Cole for the most part stays healthy, so if you have him at the time, I mean, again, the biggest question mark for the Yankees, I feel like at the moment, is their starting rotation, because you know Severino's now going to miss some time to start the year. Rodon's missing some time to start the year. Montas is going to miss like the whole year with the shoulder injury. I think their rotation could be a question mark, even though I think going into spring training, it would be a big strength. I think their lineup's going to be fine. Like if Volpe hits, they have other prospects. Oswald Peraza is also good. Oswaldo Cabrera had a kind of
he's fun
very
to watch.
Versatile. Yeah, I mean, he made some great plays against the Mets, and I was like, you got to be kidding. But also, if he weren't on the Yankees, I would appreciate him a lot more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, excited for, I think Volpe over Kiner Falefa at shortstop is going to be a big upgrade just in terms of overall potential. And I think Donaldson is probably going to be, I mean, unless he's totally fallen off, I think he's going to be better.
He's got to be better than he was, right?
He wasn't good last year, like at all. I mean, he had some like walk-off hits for them, but yeah, I think offensively their ceiling to me is still very high. So, and their bullpen, they have a lot of good like bullpen arms too. So yeah, not to like suck up to the Yankees, but I think they're going to be good. They've yet to show me that they have the inability to make the postseason. So until they actually don't make the playoffs one year, I'm basically going to pencil them in every year because they've made the playoffs like. They've been above 500 for 30 years in a row. Like, that's actually
unbelievable.
A fact. So, I have yet to successfully pick against them. So, I don't know. That's who I'm going to go with. But, yeah, sort of safe choices. But I do think the Orioles are going to make the playoffs this year. I think they're going to get the third wild card. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope they do, because I'm going to root for them all year.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year in baseball, and I'm really excited to see it. Hopefully the Mets get off to a strong start on opening day. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have to revisit these maybe like midway through the season and see how we're doing. Maybe we can refine some of our picks, but
exactly.
I'm excited. So,
yeah, definitely. Looking forward to the season. It's only a few days away. And yeah, I think that basically wraps it up. We did kind of an extra long episode today, but yeah. Got packed a lot in season predictions, roster battle discussions. Excited to see how it all shakes out. If there's someone we didn't mention at all that is going to have a great year, which hopefully happens. So yeah, I think that just about does it for this week's episode of Cohen's Corner. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at NYMFan97. You can follow Jake on Twitter at Giblin_Jake. And you can follow the podcast at Cohen's Corner Pod. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Looking forward to opening day, one of the best days of the year always. And yeah, as always, let's go Mets.